in Corinthians. Let's turn to the 12th chapter and the last few verses of the chapter, which is a good introduction to chapter 13. First Corinthians, the chapter 12, and we're going to begin with verse 29. Dear Lord, dear Father, bless the reading of your word into our hearts this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning with verse 29, but let's start with verse 28. And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues, and then the questions are asked here. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And then Paul adds, verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So I read these verses so we realize and bring to our mind just what the subject is. The subject is the offices and gifts in the church that the Holy Spirit has given. And he says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, just naturally speaking, some are born with a talent or a gift. Some develop a natural gift by education and experience. But those natural gifts are not the subject here. This refers to the gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts to believers, and as we read in this chapter, severally as he wills. And we read that in this 12th chapter, verse 11. And then we also had in this chapter, and we read them last week, those spiritual gifts. They're listed in verses 8 through 10. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healings, workings of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, divers tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And Paul says, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, the Greek word for covet here means desire zealously. Desire zealously. Why? Because they profit the whole body of Christ and each individual assembly. We read that in verse 17 of this chapter. And yet, Paul says, yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that's introducing chapter 13. Chapter 13 and verse 1. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love. Charity is agape in the Greek, and it means love. So we will read it as it is supposed to be love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. As excellent as the gifts are, yet if they are used without love, they're nothing but a big hollow sound. just nothing. Now, one may say, well, now, can the gifts of the Spirit be used without love? Oh, yes. We have that old nature, don't we? That was the case in the Corinth assembly and in some churches today. And Paul is teaching us here the superiority of love to the gifts. The gifts are of a brief duration, but a perpetual duration of love. You know the old and the new creation? We're born with that old nature. As believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the nature of Christ, the new nature within us. So they are possible in the same person, of course. I think all of you know that by experience. I know I do. Well, the Holy Spirit gave these gifts to the new creation life, not the old nature. And did not Jesus say in Mark 16, verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. Yes. To believers, and as they yield to the new nature. But you know, sometimes that old nature, that self-life, usurps the use of these gifts. Sometimes either in envy, sometimes in a self-seeking show. Such carnal service does not edify, nor does it profit anyone. May put on a show, but there's no profit. Service in the Spirit is a labor of love. And the fruit of love alone is acceptable fruit unto God. Not fruit of the old nature. Well, let's read verse 2 and 3. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. If one had all of these gifts, able to speak God's word, understanding all mysteries and having all faith, even that to remove mountains, and gave all the substance to feed the poor, and even sacrificed the body and had not love, Christian love, that divine love, all of that would be absolutely worthless. Nil. Nothing but a false profession. Now we come to verses 4 through 8. And love, we find, is analyzed by 16 statements concerning love. And I think some of us have a knowledge of Bible numerology. And the number 8 is the new creation number. So here we have double the new creation number, 16 statements. 8 of them are negative and 8 are positive. So let's begin with verse 4 and we'll read down through 8. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So what did it start with, the list of love? It started with suffering, didn't it? Love is long-suffering, does not lose heart, and is kind and patient. So suffering heads the list here. And what did it conclude with in verse 8? Love never faileth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Was this not true of Christ? Yes. And we possess his life, the life of Christ, that new nature. When we receive the Holy Spirit, he pours out this divine love into our hearts. Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Then as we count the old man dead and the new man alive, Romans the 6th chapter, and yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God, there will come a manifestation of the Spirit in the gifts, and love will control the exercise of the gifts. Not misusing them. And all will be profited. Just think about that. All will be profited. The one using the gift, the whole assembly, and God. I'm going to read this verse 8 again. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But love abides. But love abides. Verse 9. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The gifts of the Spirit are granted to the assembly for signs. And when we get to the chapter 14 and verse 22, it says they're signs for the unbeliever. There's something real there that they witness it. But also in that 14th chapter, verse 12, it says they are also given to build up the assembly. Oh, the grace of God. Praise the Lord. And the spiritual gifts should continue as long as the assembly exists. Verse 10 again. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. The gifts and the offices will be discontinued when they have served their purpose. And when we, let's turn to Ephesians 4. We'll come back here. But I want to turn to Ephesians 4. And I think I read these verses last week, but we're going to read them again. The 4th chapter of Corinthians. We are given 5 distinct gifts and offices, I should say, here in verses 11 through 13. I got to get the right page here. Yes, 11 through 13. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How long? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Perfecting of the body of Christ. That's the church, you know. And this is speaking of the mystical body of Christ, the body of all believers in Christ as head. The perfect day will come for the church. And in divine order, 1 Corinthians 15, in divine order, the church will hear, come up hither. We won't get into the ranks today, but in divine order, shall hear that voice from heaven, come up hither. Oh, blessed hope. Lydia's special song, praise the Lord. That blessed hope cheers our hearts, does it not? It keeps us longing to be with him and so thankful for our loved ones who have gone on before and that they're with their Lord. They're with their Savior. But until that time, the gifts and the offices that have brought the church along ever since when? Pentecost, ever since Pentecost, should continue until that day. And love that planned it all, it shall abide forever. For God is love. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 7 and 8. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians Chapter 3. Let's see. Colossians. I'm in the wrong verse. Chapter. Well, I'm still not there, sorry. Chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. You heard part of this in Sunday school. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, and if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14 is the one I especially want. And above all these things, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Praise the Lord. I think you're all familiar with in Peter, 2 Peter 3:18, he admonishes the believers to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. And it ends with, to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9 and 10. Maybe you might want to read there. First Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 9 and 10. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. But Paul says, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase in love more and more. Yes. You might think, well, I love the brethren. But that love needs to be perfected in us. Let's turn to the 3rd chapter of 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 3, verse 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Yes, praise the Lord. That chorus in our book, let's sing that. Let us love one another. Could you start the... that out for us, Gordon. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Praise the Lord. Now you can't do it, but we can yield to the life of Christ. The old nature can't. Let's look to God. Hallelujah. To perfect love in us. Praise the Lord. Holy, unblameable, in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song.